Right now, your brain is doing something extraordinary. It is processing roughly 11 million bits of information every second. Sounds, light, temperature, the feel of whatever you're sitting on. Yet your conscious mind handles only about 40 to 50 of those bits. That gap is not a flaw. It is a survival feature. To function at all, your brain must compress reality into shortcuts, categories, and patterns. And one of the oldest, most automatic shortcuts it uses is this: who is like me and who is not? That compression instinct is where the story of racism begins, Joey. Not with hatred, but with categorization. Think of it like a filing system. Your brain runs without asking permission. In the 1970s, psychologist Henri Tajfel ran a now famous experiment. He divided people into groups based on something completely trivial, whether they preferred the painter Paul Klee or Wassily Kandinsky. No history between the groups, no stakes. And yet, almost immediately, people began favoring their own group. They allocated more resources to in-group members. They rated their own group as superior. Tajfel called this the minimal group paradigm. The takeaway is striking. You do not need a real conflict or even a real difference to produce bias. You just need a category. This is where it gets neurological, Joey. Research using fMRI scans has shown that the amygdala, the brain's threat detection center, can show increased activity in response to unfamiliar faces in less than 100 milliseconds. That is faster than conscious thought. Now, here is the critical nuance. This response is heavily shaped by social context and cultural conditioning. It is not hardwired to race specifically. It is wired to unfamiliarity. The brain flags what it does not recognize. Who counts as familiar is something you learn from your environment, your community, the images you grow up seeing. That means the amygdala's reaction is not destiny. It is a starting point that culture then sculpts. Tajfel's social identity theory builds on this. It argues that people derive part of their self-esteem from the groups they belong to. The key idea is that once you identify with a group, you are motivated, often unconsciously, to see that group as better. It is not malice, it is ego maintenance. Now, here is where biology and social construction split apart. And this split matters enormously. The brain's tendency to categorize is real, but the specific categories we call races are not biological facts, they are inventions. Genetic research confirms that any two humans share 99.9% of their DNA. More revealing still, about 94% of all human genetic variation occurs within so-called racial groups, not between them. For example, two people both classified as black can be more genetically different from each other than either is from someone classified as white. Race, as a sorting system, does not map onto biology. It maps onto history, power, and social agreement. The brain needed categories. Societies chose which categories to make meaningful, and then built entire legal, economic, and cultural systems around those choices. Remember this distinction, because it is the foundation of everything that follows in this course. The tribal brain is ancient and universal. Every human on the planet runs the same in-group and out-group software. That is not racism. Racism is what happens when that cognitive tendency gets attached to a specific, invented hierarchy. When one group's category gets labeled inferior, and that label gets enforced through law, violence, and institution. The biology of categorization is morally neutral. What humans do with it is not. You are not a passive victim of your amygdala, Joey. Understanding the machinery is the first step toward overriding it. The brain built the filing cabinet. History decided what to put inside.